Welcome back. You're listening to Money Talks. And we are returning with some more listener questions. As I said earlier, if you have some questions of your own you'd like to submit to us, we'd be happy to answer them on the air. You can call our questions hotline at 1-855-429-9166, or you can email them to us at drgene@hensler.com. So, guys, let's finish out the show with some more listener questions. This first one we'll pivot to here is Brian from Canton. I own some mid-cap banking and investment stocks, Voya Financial, Legg Mason, and One Main Holdings. I'd like to trim one of them. I think I have gains in all of them.
All right.
Jacob, if you want to take a stab at this one.
Yeah, I'll hop on in here. Let's just go through one by one with Voya. I think they've got pretty solid market positions in retirement plans, fixed annuities, and investment management. The one thing that I don't really like is they don't have much in group benefits or life insurance, and I think that's an attractive space right now. They have kind of a runoff in their variable annuity business that they've closed. So there is some interest rate if rates were to go up, they're going to continue losing there. So there's some drag there. They are less leveraged than peers, but if you look at the makeup of their book, they do have a little bit riskier book. Overall, a fairly healthy stock. I'd say this is a hold if I have to choose only one to sell.
So you like the insurance. If there was more insurance exposure, you'd be a little more favorable on it?
More insurance, and especially group and life. I think it's a tough environment with the new fiduciary rule. We haven't had much visibility in what's going to happen with that, but it's been harder to sell retail insurance without getting too deep into that. With Legg Mason, what you have there is a solid asset manager with a global distribution. About 80% of their strategy AUM beat the benchmarks. They're a little bit more, or their majority fixed income, so 55% fixed income. And we haven't really seen much volatility in that environment, but normally active management shines. So if we do get some more monetary policy changes, they could benefit from that.
Yeah, and being an asset manager and the fact you said 8% of their funds beat their benchmark, I mean, that makes them a lot easier to sell, a lot easier to attract new assets under management, which should benefit them, obviously.
Right, but yeah, it's steady growth, the fairly attractive stock there. So that's a hold, and then that gets us into One Main, which is basically a low market consumer lender talking unsecured loans on the slightly above the payday.
That's what payday I was going to ask you, like predatory loans.
If you look at kind of their market profile, it's a boom bust credit type profile.
So their quality of loans, I assume, is pretty low.
To give you an idea, the yield in Q2 on their loan portfolio was 24%.
Wow.
And you're talking net charge-offs at 7% in the most recent quarter. And what we're seeing with the U.S. consumer is it's broadly healthy, but some of the down market, some of the lower income spaces, we've seen some pressure. And I think that is due to something that's been fairly obvious for some time now, that we're seeing kind of the top 50% of the economy wage growth. And
the bottom bifurcation that we've seen for some time now.
Pretty stagnant. There's not a lot of leverage in this company to rising rates. They don't have a lot of investment carry. It's mainly a loan book. Overall, does not look attractive to me. I don't see many catalysts for them. So that would be my sell.
All right. Well, thanks for your answers there. The next question we've got comes from Christopher from Woodstock. In my divorce settlement, states that I will pay my ex-wife approximately $83,000 in spousal support over the next 5 years. In the document, it states that support to wife is tax-free. It does not state that husband cannot write it off, because I would never have signed that, but it does say it is non-taxable to the wife. Does that imply that I'm agreeing to me not being able to use it as a deduction?
Actually, I think you're in good shape. Let me just explain a couple things. If it's in the contract, it says spousal support. That's just another name for alimony.
Sure.
Spousal support is, and And now is another one, spousal maintenance are now all being used interchangeably. It's just become more gender neutral than alimony. It's had connotations of husband to the wife of, over the years. Now it's all can be either way. So, but if it's in the divorce decree that it is spousal support, then it's saying it's alimony, and alimony is deductible to the person paying. It's includable in income regardless of what the document says to the person who receives it. So I think you're in good shape.
Okay, well, good news for Christopher. I'm sure he'll be happy in light of the unfortunate situation. Well, guys, let's take a quick listener question for you. This is from Arnold from Duluth. IBM spiked quite a bit on Wednesday, I'm guessing because of a good earnings call. I've owned IBM for years. It's been my only set-and-forget stock. What's your outlook for IBM? Do I need to be buying more of it, trim my position, take profits, reinvest the dividends elsewhere? I'd say IBM is about 4% of my portfolio. Well, Arnold, lucky for you, if you've had the mentality of set and forget, you haven't had the stomach what IBM's done the last couple of years, because it surely hasn't been pretty.
Right.
So if you've just left it there, you haven't been watching the day-to-day declines. But you're right, IBM did have a nice pop the other day on a what analysts are considering an improving earnings report. It still wasn't great. IBM had their 22nd consecutive quarter of declining revenues. They also had earnings come down. The bright spot is that they see growth in what they call their strategic imperatives and hardware businesses. Think Watson and cloud computing, where you saw revenues grow 11% to now account for 45% of total revenue. So there is a little bit better picture, but man, that 10% pop seems like a lot based on that for a company that still hasn't really shown that it's turned a corner in terms of returning to growth.
Right. I think some of that was just sentiment was definitely very negative.
So absolutely.
Any sign of hope? When you're talking IBM, you're talking a company that's generates a pretty nice shareholder yield when you factor in dividend yield and buybacks. But that comes at the expense of leverage. What we've seen, especially when we talk about financial engineering, we kind of joke that IBM's the poster child of raising debt just to buy back stock.
Yep.
And if you're thinking about growth, we haven't seen it. So
they're not investing back in the business.
No, we took a look at that, and I think the easiest comp for IBM, there's not a great one, but it's probably Oracle. And Oracle invests about 17% of revenues in research and development. You compare that to IBM, they're under 7%. So the core business is definitely in decline when you're talking about enterprise solutions. They're going to have to find a growth catalyst moving forward, and I think it's going to come from increasing R&D.
Yeah, I think so as well. And just to give you a short answer of, you ask, do you reinvest the dividend somewhere else? Do you hold it? Do you buy more? I definitely wouldn't recommend buying more at this point. Our recommendation would probably be to sell. We sold it well over a year ago and don't regret doing so. It just really hasn't shown its ability to grow and really create the returns that we're looking for. Next question, Jennifer and Jeff from Kennesaw, and this is a stock that we've talked about plenty here, guys, so you'll enjoy it as we kind of talk through it. We've held Teva Pharmaceuticals for years as a strong generic play in a competitive drug market. We trimmed mid-2016 and again in the fourth quarter of 2016. We trimmed again mid-2017. What has fundamentally changed in this company that has made such a good stock go from nearly $70 to $15? If the current price isn't a buying opportunity, do you have a generic drug maker you prefer? Just be thankful that you did trim it in all those places that you've said, because it certainly has done nothing but go lower since you begun trimming it. And Teva is a stock that, we've spent some time looking at. As you mentioned, it's a generic pharmaceutical. And the latest issue, on top of having several management changes in the past year or two, is their main drug, Copaxone, basically had a generic competitor come to market far sooner than they expected.
Right.
I think that was, in the last week or two?
Right.
Yeah.
Was it Mylan?
Yeah, Mylan.
Right. Yeah, there's so many headwinds that this company has faced. Basically, they bought the top in the market with that Actavis acquisition of their generics business.
Right.
They recently wrote that down, but basically we've seen an environment on the generic side where you're seeing double-digit
price
deflation.
Yeah.
All the consolidation in the insurance market, basically they're flexing their muscles, because it's been a rough space for the insurers too. On top of that, you had the CEO leave. You've got concerns about leverage due to that acquisition moving forward. And there's been a little bit of a struggle in the way that FDA approvals have come through for them, because they are a little dependent on that as far as NDAs go, which is basically an approval for a generic. What we saw this past year is there was kind of a rush of the less complex, less sophisticated drugs, and they really spend a good bit on R&D in the generic space. So they were not getting the same pace of approvals as
That's so huge, especially when your biggest drug is coming off patent.
Right.
You know, you have to have a solid pipeline and approvals happening to make up for those lost sales that you're now going to have. I mean, we mentioned high leverage, generic competition, pricing pressures. It's hard to
see a catalyst. We got the new CEO, and it's insanely cheap.
Price to book 0.62.
Any sort of stabilization in that space, they should be the high margin player. They are the largest player in that space. So if you get in, it's the purest play on prescription generics in the market. So if you get any stabilization there, it's going to work. It's just hard to – we're not seeing anything to signal that anything like that's going to happen. And there's still a lot of concern on the street about a debt covenant that they have, that basically they have to hit a EBITDA target relative to debt, that if they miss that, their cost of capital is going to increase even more. And Jonathan, wasn't there a debt downgrade?
Yeah, just like you said, there was concerns this latest earnings call about missing the debt covenant, and that was before Mylan released their generic version of Copaxone. And
right.
Copaxone doesn't only make up 20% of sales, it makes up 40% of the EBITDA for Teva. So
it's rough
if
overall.
It was unlikely they're going to meet the covenant then it's much less likely.
And just to real quick explain to the listener what a debt covenant is. Basically, when you issue debt, the debtors can say you have to hit a certain target or we basically refinance this.
Sure. So it's not a pretty picture for Teva. The 7.5% yield that might look good right now, I don't think that's going to be around any longer. So don't let that sucker you into buying the stock. But hopefully we'll see some sort of catalyst.
One to watch for sure.
Keep it on your radar. Well, guys, at the end of the show here, let's talk. What's it going to be next week? Market up or down?
Up.
Definitely up.
Jonathan?
It's going to be down.
Ooh, I'm going to go with the other two and say the market's going to be up. It's been a great show, guys. Thanks for listening.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.